From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reiss on Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hi, this is Pam Tillis, and you're listening to Hollywood Connection with Dawn.
Hi, I'm Gina Lee Nolan, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections.
Hey, everyone, I'm Cassie Skirbo with Dawn, the lovely Dawn, and you're listening and watching Hollywood Connection.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reiss, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reiss's Tan Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reiss on Hollywood
Connections. Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
Hey, this is Jason Thompson from The Young and the Restless. You're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reiss.
Hi, Squidward Tentacles here, reminding you about Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reiss. If you want to know about voiceovers, this is where you need to tune in. You can hear me too. Have a great day. Is this thing still on?
I am. Hey, this is Brittany Sarpy from Young and the Restless, and you are listening to Dawn Reiss Hollywood Connection.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reiss. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Charlie Adler, and I'm shouting out, I guess that's a word, because I'll be on Hollywood Connections soon.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't, but keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood, always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Beauty Queen Reporter Special with Deidre Veronica, Miss Boy Reporter Lifetime. I do have a special guest tonight. Is he on, Marco?
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Marcos. How are you? Thank you for calling in tonight.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you. You know, you have an awesome story. I've heard of it, and I would love for you to share, tell our viewers about your powerful stories, about your past and how you came to know the Lord.
Well, my past was that as a boy, I didn't have a good father influence. As you see the world today, their children are breaking things, destroying things, and gangs, and even what you're seeing now that they're giving up the kids to come to the United States without a father and a mother figure. I didn't have a good father figure. My dad at 6 years old taught me to fight at school. And when the teacher doesn't let me go to the bathroom, come use the bathroom at the house. And not to have one girl, to have three or four girlfriends. So at 6, 7 years old, my dad kind of wrecked my life. And then at 18 years old, when I got out of high school, a family member introduced me to cocaine. That happened to be my dad. And even at eighth grade, a teacher gave me a shirt. After the bell rang, she goes, don't leave the class. I got something to give you. She gave me a shirt, says, here comes trouble. So my life was a shipwreck since I was a little boy. And at 18 years old, when I was introduced to cocaine, I was selling drugs from New York, from Miami to New York to Puerto Rico, selling drugs to the chief of police of Puerto Rico at 18 and a half years old, or 18 I was. And then I had a candy store in New York. And I'm the guy that came out with the name Speedball. I was selling dime bags of cocaine to the heroin addictors, and I was making $30,000 every 2 weeks. And so after a year, I already have more or less got reaching $1 million. I felt empty inside because I didn't have my mom with me. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go back to Carroll City. It was a black neighborhood that where I graduated. And when I got back, I was introduced to the cartels of Medellin and Cali. And little did you know that I became this big drug lord. I was very involved with a massive weight of selling cocaine daily and weekly. I was selling 10 kilos a day in Carroll City and Liberty City. And every Wednesday, I was sending 180 kilos to Atlanta, Georgia, and 80 kilos to St. Petersburg. And I lived a rough life because my dad left my mom when I was 21 years old. And then when I was 22, my brother graduated Liberty Baptist College in Virginia out of Day North, out of St. Thomas University. So 22 years, he got his master's. And he was a substitute teacher at his junior high. And he walked away from the Lord, and they shot him and they killed him on my birthday. So I grew up in the streets by myself. My dad wasn't there. He abandoned the family. I lost my brother. I thought my mom was a fanatic, a crazy woman, because all she was doing was going to church on Wednesday nights, Sunday morning, Sunday night. So I had a rough life. You know, I couldn't run out of money because I was making $60,000-$70,000 every week. And I couldn't run out of cocaine because I was a major drug lord. So I lived like the Bible says, in the wide road of destruction. You know, and the devil had me blind.
So that all sounds like a movie that I've seen before. So that's really hard to live through.
I was like the replica, you could say, of Scarface. Because at 22 years old, I had a beauty salon, and I was laundering money because the government doesn't know how much nails you're paying, and I'm a chair you cut. And then at 24, 25 years old, I met two Cuban guys, and knew me since I was 7 years old, and they started laundering the money through a construction company. And just how they say on all the documentaries about drug kingpins or drug lords in Miami, that Miami was built with drug money. Well, I was one of that, that guy. When I was 25 years old in Coconut Grove, we built that famous thing called the Cocoa Walk. It was a theater, two-story clubs, restaurants, shopping centers. And then when the monorail came out in Miami, I built behind Dayland Mall. Imagine, I was giving these guys $60,000 to $70,000 every week to launder that money. So it was $250,000 a month. And they did that 13 floors of parking garage for the monorail worth $13 million. We did schools. We did shopping centers. We did a Walgreens, a Papa John's, a Dunkin' Donuts. So I was very, very deep in the wide road of destruction. It's just like the Bible says in Romans 9:17, Pharaoh, I raise you up for one purpose, that through you my power may be manifested. And I could have been dead. I could have been in jail, overdose, running from the Lord. And thank God that my mom, when 7 years old, she used to take me to church. And my favorite verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. And I prayed when I was 7 years old to be the first one to die in my family. I don't want to suffer the death of my mom, my dad, and my brother. And for God to use me one day big in the ministry. Not knowing that I had to walk in this path, this course, like Joseph did, that his brothers sold, they threw him in a dungeon, they sold him. And what they intended for the bad, God intended for the good. And I didn't know that I had to be this person and as an instrument that I could have been in jail, dead, overdose, or running from the law, and nothing happened to me. The cartels of Medellin, they went to, the feds went to Medellin, they shipped them down here, they did their time, and they never turned me in. My black friends in Atlanta, Georgia, and St. Pete, and even in Miami, they all did, one did 29 and a half, the other one did 27 and a half, even though they both have five life sentences never to come out, they never turned me in. And it was only through Donald Trump that he signed a waiver that if you've done 25 years and you were charged for life off with cocaine, he had clemency and they let him out because they were never going to come out. So I'm a miracle that nobody ever turned me in and nothing happened to me. And like I tell people, back in 1992, I even did a video with John Secada. It's called a song that he made. It's called An Angel or Spirit That Won't Let Go, because they shot his girlfriend at a club. And I made through a motorcycle that I had. It was a company called Motion Neon. Used to sponsor him with a motorcycle on videos, on magazines, and on the World of Wheels. And they wanted me to they wanted them to use the cars and the motorcycle to make this video. And they called me to make the video, and my Colombians and Medellin would tell me, don't come out. We don't want you to expose you on television or nothing like that. Don't you know who you are, who we are? I go, I'm going to do it. I don't care. And I even did that video, an angel, a spirit that won't let go. And that was God protecting me for one reason, that the Bible said that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that we're children of God. It's by grace. It's by faith. Not by works, or no one can boast. And I'm a live testimony through the prayers of my mother that what's impossible for man is possible through God. And nothing comes out of the ground, nothing, if it doesn't have a root. And the root of all evil is the love of money. What happens to a man if he deems the whole world lose his soul? And that's what the devil at 18 years old gave me, power, fame, and money. But I was empty inside.
Wow. You know, it takes a lot to share that. I mean, you have such a redemptive story. Do you get to share this story often with many people? I know you're having you have a book. It's called For This Reason, From Being a Drug Lord to Serving the Lord. So what was the process of writing this book? And, like, what does it mean to you to share your story with others?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because this happened 25 years ago, October 9, 1995. I sent two shipments of drugs, one to Atlanta, Georgia, and St. Petersburg. And every week, when I used to send 180 kilos and the 80 kilos, imagine for years, my dad would tell me, one day they're going to catch you. And the key of the cell, they're going to make out of the chocolate, you're never going to come out. So I would use drugs three times every week because the tension that I had that I was going to get busted. And I met these Canadians, and they were Christians, and I was married, and I had five girlfriends besides my wife. And they took, and I went upstairs with them, and they opened the Bible and said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Holy Spirit of God convicted me of sin. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I asked him to forgive me for my sin because I know that he died on the cross for my sin. I said, Father, I know my heart. You raised yourself from the dead. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless me with the Holy Spirit. I rebuke the devil, demons, and all your spirit of cocaine. And that day when I got up from the ground from praying, he put his hand on my shoulder. I go, man, I feel peace. And he goes, God called you to preach. Well, when that happened, I was 32 years old. I gave like a testimony in TBN, two television stations, five radio stations in Miami. I went to Cuba, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, even in Medellin, Colombia with Pablo Escobar, even being Cuban. I went over there to the world of the cocaine capital of the United States of the world. And I gave my testimony over there. So I'm a chaplain, evangelist, and a preacher, and I preach at a jail in Pahokee. It's called Sago Palm Reentry, and I was preaching about Samson. The Samson, the Bible said that he was called from birth. He told his mom, the angel, not to drink any of this fermented because what was going to be inside her was from the Holy Spirit, and he was going to be a mighty man of God, and he was, but he sinned. But the Bible said that when he died, that he repented. God brought him back and gave him the strength. And the Bible said that he killed more Philistines the last day that he lived than all the days he lived. So God put it in my heart last year, 2 years ago, to make a book for God to use me greater now than ever before. And I named the book for this reason, after 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. It says, it's a trustworthy acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Who I am the worst, Apostle Paul said. But for this reason, that's the name of the book, for this reason, the grace of God came upon my life so other sinners might come to know Jesus Christ. And that was what God put in my heart 2 years ago to make this book. So any mothers out there that have a son, like I was, using drugs and selling drugs, or any child out there lost a brother, like I lost a brother on my birthday, or any child out there that her father abandoned them, or any child out, any mother out there don't think that they got a hope because of the son, I'm a living testimony that God loved the world, that he sent his son to die on the cross so we can have a relationship to him through the death and the resurrection and being born again by accepting Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. So I decided to make this book for that reason, for God to be glorified.
That's awesome. I think so many people will be inspired by that, and just the fact that you've gone to travel and see God is faithful. He uses our past and our mistakes and gives us a platform. You're helping so many others. So what would you say is some advice or a life lesson that you would give to a young man who has gone through some of the things that you've gone through?
Well, I say that this world is a prisoner of sin. And when a man sows, a man reaps. And apart from God, a man is in destruction. And there's going to be suffering and pain. And terrible times. I would say that to come to Jesus, repent, reconcile your life to God the Father, because through Jesus Christ, he trampled all power, all authority through the cross. And the only way you could come out is the way I did, is through repentance and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm an instrument. Just like Thomas. Thomas, one of those disciples of Jesus Christ. And he had to see Jesus Christ and hope in order for him to believe. You can see my life. That is, I didn't get shot. I didn't overdose. I didn't run from the law. And I didn't die. That through Christ, he can change you. It's a terrible life of selling drugs, being out there with women, without being married and clubs and drinking. It could be your last day. And the best life is to turn away from the love of this world. That even the Bible said that Jesus came into the world, but man loves sin, that they want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. That the best thing you can do is walk away from that sin and turn your life to God. The peace that God gives this world, don't give it. And it's the worst life there is living in that lifestyle of paranoia, of thinking that you're going to get caught, that you don't trust anybody, and it's a very dangerous life.
Right. So I just love how Jesus comes in the middle of our mess. I remember when I got saved, just dealing with so many things, peer pressure, and just whatever in my family. And then he just meets you in your brokenness. I love the story of how he reached you and your deepest, lowest point. And I think that's the whole point of the gospel is, you know, coming to Jesus. We all need him. We all are, you know, slaves to sin until we're, you know, slave to righteousness. And that only happens through Jesus. And so I'm really inspired by your story, and I know you're going to be at the International Film and Music Festival in Orlando. Can you tell us what you're going to be doing there in May?
Yeah, we're going to, I'm going to be with Don Reese sharing a table, and we're going to be promoting this book to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. We're hoping that by this year we'll have a contract with God to bring the right person to be fully committed to back up to do a movie for God's glory, for God to touch the hearts and people be transformed and changed by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and through the prayers of my mother that that God can use his story. How the Bible today, even the Bible says that if God did not leave the remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible is the gospel of salvation. And they spoke about Paul, John, Peter, James. So I'm talking about my life story for all the people to glorify God and change their lives, and to be an example that through Christ you can become a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come, and that's what we're trying to do, to get a movie out of this book, to glorify God out of a life story of that what's impossible for man is possible to God.
Awesome. Well, I'll be there Friday and Saturday, so I'll meet you there, and it'll be a good time. I've been to the festival before. I know it's going to be good. You'll meet a lot of producers, directors. You'll definitely make some good connections. Just lastly, before we go, if someone wants to purchase your book, is it online? Can we find it online to buy?
No, I haven't done that because I'm not techie. The only way to get it for me is free shipping in the United States. And all you have to do is call 786-693-0926, 786-693-0926, and I will ship it to you. All you got to do is send me an address. It's $15. All the proceeds are going to a church that we're trying to build in Mexico. And everything I do, like the Bible said, whether we eat or drink, anything I do it to glorify God. And that's the purpose of this book. And it's just like I was telling Don earlier today. Let's say you have a child, and his lungs are bad, and he's about to die. And you've been waiting for this lung for years. And your son can't take it anymore, and he's going to die. And somebody gives it to him, and he lives. But that person died. Well, you would like to chase down the person that donated that and thank him. Well, that's what we did. God changed our life. He died and raised. And we just want to show everybody who God is because he gave us a new life.
Awesome. That's so true. Well, I know you've blessed our listeners tonight, and I know your book is going to bless others, and I really hope it does get into a movie. It's definitely a story that needs to be told over and over again. So thank you so much, Marcos. God bless you. I hope you have a great rest of your night, and we'll see you in Orlando.
I'm a miracle. Yes, I'll see you at the International Film Festival. And I'm a miracle through the prayers of my mother. God bless you all. And those that hear this testimony, that you also could be a testimony through Christ Jesus.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night, babe.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's TAN Talk.
Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown for actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Don Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAN Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hi, this is Pam Tillis, and you're listening to Hollywood Connection with Don.
Hi, I'm Gina Lee Nolan, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections.
Hey, everyone. I'm Cassie Skirbo with Dawn, the lovely Dawn, and you're listening and watching Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio with Dawn, little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Meese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's Tan Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood
Connections. Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
Hey, this is Jason Thompson from The Young and the Restless. You're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese.
Hi, Squidward Tentacles here, reminding you about Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. If you want to know about voiceovers, this is where you need to tune in. You can hear me too. Have a great day. Is this thing still on?
I am.
Hey, this is Brittany Sarpy from Young and the Restless, and you are listening to Dawn Reese Hollywood Connection.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Charlie Adler, and I'm shouting out, I guess that's a word, because I'll be on Hollywood Connections soon.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't, but keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood, always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hello, this is a Hollywood Connections. Hi, everyone. This is a Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen special with Dawn Reese. My name is Teresa Velasquez, World Classic Miss Universe Tourism 21 to 22. And we're going to play a song by Lee Knox. He is a musician, singer, and songwriter. And the name of the song is called Jesus.
Father, I pray by your spirit that whoever is hurting, disappointed, misunderstood, but just don't know which way to go, that they will see that they can call on your name, Jesus, and things change. Are you hurting inside? Are you carrying pain? Are you stuck asking why? Feeling cold in the rain? Are you feeling alone? As though no one is there? As though all hope is gone and no one cares?
Are you hurting inside?
Are you hurting inside?
Are you carrying pain?
Are you carrying?
Wow, that's a beautiful song. And that's by the talented Lee Knox. He's a musician. He is a songwriter, singer, and an author who aims to produce quality music relevant to the world today. His focus is adding a hint to the classics from yesterday to today's music. And as an author, he has written Surviving Your Meanwhile and Identifying Layers, both available on Amazon. Since the 1996, he has written thousands of songs expressing the roller coaster ride of life and showing the value of love, regardless of the genre. His musical style is influenced by artists such as Boyz II Men, Music Soul Child, Brian McKnight, Luther Vandross, and several others in similar fashion. And if you want to get more information or on booking, go to www.leeknox.net. So that's Lee, L-E-E, Knox, K-N-O-X.net. So you can get some more information on everything he has to offer. And who do I have on the air?
I'm here.
Hi, is this Deborah?
Yes, you can hear me, Teresa.
Hi. Hey. Steve, are you there?
That's a beautiful song.
Okay, so I got to get him on again. He was probably listening to the music. So, okay. So, Deborah. Hello, Deborah, call up.
We got...
Okay, Deborah?
For a minute. We were disconnected just for a moment. I'm sorry.
Yeah, a little disconnection there. Hey, listen, we wanted to talk about the Earth. Being that it was Earth Day on April the 22nd, right. We wanted to continue talking about, you know, helping the Earth and, you know, all the pollution that goes on. And our topic is about saving the Earth today.
Right.
And you
right.
spoke about Arbor Day being on the 30th and planting trees and all that. You like that organization, the Arbor Day organization?
Yes, I do. And that's Friday, April 30th. That's correct, Teresa. Thanks for bringing that up. And it is very important to have trees on our planet. They're vital to our existence. So, yes, we want to talk about that. And, of course, you want to talk about other things yourself that we discussed the other day. But it's very important. Of course, Restore the Earth was the topic or theme for Earth Day, April 22nd,
mm-hmm.
which is along with this show. But wonderful topic, Teresa. Thank you for choosing it. And what do you want to talk about first? You had some things you wanted to share.
Well, the Arbor Day, you had said something about planting trees. I know you sent me a really nice picture of yourself by a tree, which I uploaded
right.
to the
Facebook.
Well,
they do, yeah.
And
Arbor Day, you can...
It's about planting, nurturing, and celebrating trees.
Yeah, right. That's
and getting creative about it, going outdoors, planting.
It's very interesting.
Hi, Steve!
Hi,
there?
Yes, I am, Teresa. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted talk today about Earth Day. Not Earth Day. Earth Day was on the 22nd, but we are going to talk about Arbor Day, which is similar. It's about planting trees, and Deborah really likes this organization. So she wanted to tell us more about planting trees and getting creative and the whole purpose of this organization. And go ahead, Deborah.
Okay, well, you can find, go to their website. There's a wealth of information up there, the Arbor Day website, originated in 1972, and you can go to Arbor Day, that's ARBORDAY.org, to find out more about them, what they do. They're very dedicated, of course, to planting trees and educating people about the importance of trees. And you go up there, you find so much, including the history of Arbor Day that goes back to 1872. Isn't that amazing? So this
mm-hmm.
is back to 1872. It's not a new thing, but I don't recall hearing a lot about it when I was in school. But then again, it has been around a while. And the Arbor Day Foundation began in 1972. So it's really amazing that they have kept, they decided they would just, you know, promote it more, I suppose, because of the serious problems with our environment. But this began, guess where it began? In a state of Nebraska. You would have thought it might have been out in California or some other state that's densely populated with trees. But Nebraska is where this Arbor Day Foundation is located, and Nebraska was the place where it actually originated back in 1872 because they didn't have a lot of trees, and people missed them. They notice the lack of trees, and they really miss the ones they left behind. And they're also left without the trees they needed as windbreakers to keep soil in place and building materials and for shade from the hot sun. So a Nebraska newspaper editor and resident of Nebraska City, Sterling Morton, M-O-R-T-O-N, had a great enthusiasm for trees, Teresa, and also Steve, you're listening. And he advocated strongly for individuals and civic groups to plant trees. So on January 4, 1872, Morton first proposed a tree-planting holiday to be called Arbor Day at a meeting of the State Board of Agriculture. The celebration date was set for April 10, 1872. Prizes were offered to counties and individuals for the largest number of properly planted trees on that day. It was estimated that more than 1 million trees were planted in Nebraska on the first Arbor Day. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I'm reading here it's 350 million trees.
Yeah, it was just
one throughout the world.
Arbor Day. Anyway, it was officially proclaimed Arbor Day in Nebraska in 1874 by their governor, and it was observed April 10th again. And then in 1885, Arbor Day was named a legal state holiday in Nebraska, and this became popular. It was as it was learned about, people found out about it across the country. So by 1920, more than 45 states and territories were celebrating Arbor Day, and the tree planting became a tradition and prominent in schools across the nation, where school children were learning about the importance of trees, as well as receiving a tree to plant in their yard. And so today, of course, all 50 states celebrate Arbor Day, Teresa and Steve, and the most common date for the state observance is the last Friday of April, which is coming up this Friday, National Arbor Day. But a number of states, just so people know, Arbor Days are at other times sometimes meant to coincide with the best tree planting weather. So from January and February in the South, that's where it usually comes about. They don't, you know, celebrate on April 30th in all the states, and up to May in the far North. And while Nebraska City is the official birthplace of Arbor Day, the holiday, communities around the world gather every year to celebrate trees and plant for a greener tomorrow. And this is from their website, it's arborday.org. So it's really a wonderful place to go. And they tell you about ways you can get seeds, how you can celebrate Arbor Day this year with social distancing. You know, take a hike in the woods or the forest, plant your own trees. You can order seeds and trees from them, and they'll be sure that a tree is planted in a national forest. Or you can even go to your own nursery and do this. But they really include people that way as far as participating on their website. You can become a member of the Arbor Day Foundation. But you're nurturing the environment, and the trees do so much to protect us. They're called the lungs of the earth. I found that
right.
The National Wildlife.
It's a tree. Yeah, it's a solution to a lot of the global issues, including the air quality and all that water.
Right, absolutely. So, and they have a place for children, and that could even include us, called Carly's Kids Corner. We can click up there, and you can find C-A-R-L-Y, Carly's Kids Corner. It's a fun site to go. You learn everything about trees, their importance, and why they're so important. And they have games and things like that for children to learn. It's very educational, and it's really used a lot in classrooms. So that's another way to encourage children to get involved. So it's really a vital part of our global situations that are going on, having trees in our planet. They also make people feel better. You know, I found this too, that, they provide inspiration to people in many ways. They relieve stress, and they have a relaxing effect on people. And I found with the National Wildlife Federation, of course, they're very strong on trees about habitat for the wildlife, of course. But also they mentioned that children with attention deficit disorder, ADD, are better able to concentrate after time spent outdoors in green settings. And also hospital patients with a window view of trees recover faster. And that's been noticed. So that really shows how much and how important that is to our well-being, as well as making the planet a better place. They're vital. So you want to talk about a little bit about Stockton and that topic right now in our own, where we live, you know, Stockton, California. A special guard was made possible by a grant where we live called Fathers and Families of San Joaquin to make people feel better, provide healing to those who are left behind and who have lost loved ones became victims of violent crime. And it's called Fathers and Families of San Joaquin. And there's an article by our local newspaper, The Record, at recordnet.com, that I found, that shows how this provides healing for people. They have a garden over on South Sutter Street, and they have a place where people who have lost loved ones to violent crimes have planted trees to honor them. And this is part of their Healing Roots program. And the article states that the program is twofold. It can help families find a positive way to cope with trauma, while trees that are planted can help improve the environment. And this goes back to 2018, where they did this article, report about it, and they received grant funding to plant these trees on a lot on South Center Street. And
yes, it's therapeutic, huh?
Right. They decided, though, not to make it just an Earth Day situation where they're going to open this garden up just for that. Instead, because of all the violence and the problems here in Stockton, unfortunately, those things do exist in many cities, but also here. But they saw the grant as an opportunity to support healing in the community in a more meaningful way that would have a lasting impact in Stockton, where there are high rates of violence, but also greenhouse gases, like most cities. The executive director said he wanted to plant life where life has been taken, to express this need. And it's really a beautiful thing. There are pictures in the old Record article that I found online. You go to recordnet.com, I believe it is, for the Stockton Record. Those who don't live in Stockton can find that out. When you go up there, you'll find these articles and pictures. It's recordnet.com, and it shows you what life is like out here in Stockton, California, what they're trying to do. And, yeah, it's just really a touching time for people who've been, they're encouraged to show their emotions, to weep, but the trees, when they go.
Yeah, it is. It's good for the global issues, like I said, for air quality, water quality, changing climate, deforestation, poverty, and hunger. And then, of course, it's very therapeutic to do this. So there is a website you can go to and join, become a member, donate, and it is arborday.org. So one that I really like is the forocean.com. They're picking up ocean plastic because there's a crisis. And what they do is they take the plastic and they make little bracelets, and they make money out of that for the nonprofit, and they pick up so much garbage from the ocean, and you know it's good for us because we need to have things clean. We can't have a dirty ocean. We have to have a clean ocean. The environment has to be clean, right, for us to survive. So they're doing a lot to help. It's foreocean.com, and you can look up. They picked up totally covered. Of plastic, more than 14 million pounds, and we covered trash from the ocean and coastline 7 days a week. Wow, that's a lot of garbage. So, anyway, we have Steve on, and I wanted him to talk a little bit about our topic. Do you do any kind of walking with your friends, bicycle riding, walking, what is this? Do you go recycling? Is there anything you wanted to add to our topic, something that can inform the listeners?
Yes.
And educate them? Okay.
Yes. One of the things I've been looking into lately is fundraising. And one of the things you can do for Arbor Day, and it's also a fundraiser, so you can do it again, is you sell a tree for a dollar, or if you buy one for a dollar, you sell it for two, then you can buy another one the next time you want to do this. It's a great way to keep the cycle going, is doing a fundraiser to keep doing the Arbor Day tree plant or planting.
Okay, so fundraising is one. And So what else do you recommend that people should do to stop the pollution that's going on?
I take the bus most of the time.
Uh-huh.
I try and stay, if I'm going less than a mile, 2 miles away from my home, I'll take a bus.
Yeah.
Electric bus. Washing dishes by hand instead of using your dishwasher, like I do.
Right, and then shutting off the faucet, you know, when you're washing dishes, just shut off the faucet instead of letting it run, right? Or taking instead of taking a shower, taking a bath in the tub. Just little things like that can help us if we all participated in doing that and, you know, making people more aware. That's why I wanted to talk about this. This is important. We need to give the next generation a clean earth, right? A place where they can live, not a polluted earth. So, yeah, we have a lot of organizations that are helping, and we have to make our children aware. This one other, thomsofmaine.com, it says here that the results from the Environmental Protection Agency, NASA, and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, etc., evidence presented by each of these organizations shows their average global temperature is rising. The ocean is warming, glaciers are melting, overall snow cover is decreasing, sea levels are rising, Arctic sea ice is declining, the ocean is becoming more acidic, and we are seeing more extreme weather events as hurricanes, earthquakes, heat waves, and so forth. So we just have to be aware, make our children aware of this, and teach them how to plant trees, teach them about gardening and things like that. You know, we can't take these little things for granted. We need to think about the future.
You mentioned something that really, I think you might find interesting, too. I think we talked about it yesterday, about a lady who decided to use a tree, like we've done in hospice every Christmas and in Staunton, California.
Yes.
A lady in another state, she decided to fold up pieces of paper with prayers written on them and put them on the branches of the tree in her front yard. And that became popular, attracted attention. And other people began to do the same thing, and the tree was just overloaded with these white pieces of paper. And it became part of a magazine article because it's so noteworthy. People noticed it, and it was written about in a magazine that is inspirational. And that's where I found that. What a beautiful
4 minutes
way to do something like that.
Right. So we need to reduce the trash that's being produced and reduce the methane expelled from landfills. Food waste is very harmful. Keeping the organic matter out of the landfill through composting or using your garbage disposal, etc. Recycling, lots of things that we can do to help the environment. So make sure you're all doing your part to help and, have a future. We need to think of those things at all times. So we can play a little bit of... did you want to add anything, Steve?
No, that was all.
That was it? Okay, so there's a lot of things, and I guess we will play Lee's song again for the remainder of the time that we have.
Father, I pray by your Spirit that whoever is hurting, disappointed, misunderstood, or just don't know which way to go, that they will see that they can call on your name, Jesus, and things change. Are you hurting inside? Are you carrying?